There was an old elder in a congregation, and one day a member walks up to the elder and asks him a particular question. Here's the question. When did the church start meeting on Wednesday nights? The old elder dropped his head, and he just thought and thought. And thought. About 3 minutes went by, and he finally looked up and he had an answer. And his answer very simply was this: when it quit meeting daily. You see, he based that on Scripture. Acts 2, verse 46. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Acts 5:42. And daily in the temple, and from house to house, they ceased not to preach Jesus Christ. There was a time in the first century when the church met daily. There are some Christians who seem to have a very low regard for some programs and for some works of the church, sad to say. There are many individuals who think that programs and works, not that big of a deal. There are some who believe that programs and works of the church don't really demand my attention and my participation in them. There are some individuals who believe that the works of the church are a buffet. You go to a buffet and you pick what you like and you leave what you don't like, and you're free to pick and choose what you want or what you don't want. And that's the way some treat the works of the church. There are some who believe that the works and programs of the church, they're really not that beneficial to me as a child of God. You see, all of those kind of thoughts show a very low regard for programs and works of the congregation. This morning, I want us to focus on one program, one work of the church. And it's probably not a work that you are expecting me to choose. I know you want to see it, but I want you to think about it for a minute. I love to see the agony on your faces as we do this. Here's the program, folks. The Wednesday night Bible study. I've subtitled the lesson, and the subtitle is this: A High Priority Item. You see, I believe Wednesday nights are important. I believe that Christians need to be at Bible study on Wednesday nights. And I sincerely believe that Christians need to make that a high priority item, just as high a priority item as Bible study on Sunday, AM and PM worship, whatever it might be. And there's several reasons for that. So let's look at the reasons. Why should Wednesday night Bible class be a high priority item? Number one, God is talking. On Wednesday nights, we come together, and what do? We open the Bible, and we study from it, don't we? Right now, we're studying out of the book of Revelation, the very last book of the Bible. We as Christians, we as children of God, believe that the Bible is the Word of God, don't we? 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Every one of the words in this book are God-breathed. It is God who spoke every word in this book. Now that fact should not have to be something that is proven to Christians, should it? If I were to ask any Christian, is the Bible the Word of God? Surely they would say yes. You see, no Christian would deny that. Now folks, if the Bible is the Word of God, when it is read, God is talking, isn't He? Question. Be more important than for the people of God to hear their God talking to them? I couldn't think of anything, could you? What if, now notice this is a what if, it's not in the bulletin. But what if in the bulletin there was an announcement this week, and the announcement was in big, bold, red letters, and it said this: God will be here this Wednesday night to speak to us. Would you be here? Would you be here? Let me tell you something, folks. I'd clear my schedule. Somebody could die, and I'd still be here if God were going to be here speaking to us on Wednesday. I would almost have to die in order not to be here. Wouldn't you? God's going to be here. Now think about that. Now remember who God is. God's a spirit, so we can't see Him. So when you come on Wednesday, you're not going to see Him, but guess what? You are going to hear Him. Now, there's not much difference between that and what actually goes on Wednesday nights, folks. The only difference is we don't hear the voice of God. We read the voice of God, and it speaks to us. It's the only difference. Because anytime you read from the Word of God, God is speaking unto us. Now you might say, now Vic, can you really prove that? I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. The Apostle Paul is talking to the church at Corinth, and I want you to listen to what he says. But what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Now listen to what he says. For ye are the temple of God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Four words that are in that verse. As God hath said. Now notice, Paul said that what I'm about to quote to you is what God has said. Those words that read, I will be their God and they shall be my people. Folks, that is a direct quote from Jeremiah 31, 33. I find it interesting that Paul didn't say, as Jeremiah said, he could have. He didn't say, as the Old Testament says, he could have. What did he say? As God has said. You see, the Apostle Paul knew, when I quote from the Old Testament Scriptures, it is God who is speaking, folks. When we quote from the Word of God, it is God who is talking to us. We need to understand that. How important that is. We're just not reading from the Bible. God is talking. That's how important it is. Every Wednesday night, we open our Bibles to study. I give you questions. I give you handouts so that you can study beforehand. When you come, you can participate in that study, ask questions, compare thoughts, and we can enlighten our minds to the Word of God as it speaks to us. That's the purpose of Bible study, folks. We should make Wednesday night a priority in our lives. Why? Because God is talking. Number two, why should Wednesday night be a high priority item for us? To obey God. Again, there's not a Christian who would say that it is not of vital importance, that it is not of a dire necessity for us to be obedient to the will of God. Matthew 7:21 confirms that, doesn't it? Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Folks, doing the will of God is vital for our entering into heaven. But I know now people have a question. And the question is very simply this. Hey, preacher, where does the Bible command us to attend Wednesday night? Get that all the time. The answer? There's not one. I can't go in here and show you a passage where it says, thou shalt attend Wednesday night. I can't do that. It's not in here. Folks, the answer lies 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Bible study. It's what Wednesday nights are all about, isn't it? That's why it's called that. Wednesday night, guess what? Bible study. Now, here's some important considerations for you. Most people who miss Wednesday night Bible study don't miss to study the Bible. Never heard one person tell me that. Hey, Vic, won't be there Wednesday night. Why won't you? Because I got to study my Bible. I've never heard that. If I heard that, I'd fall down. If I heard that, I'd be able to be rushed to the hospital. That's not why people miss. Notice this next one. People who miss on Wednesdays, most of the time, never make up that Bible study. Never make it up. They miss a whole section of Scripture, and they never make up that study that they missed. Now, few do. Because now we have recordings and things of that nature. But very few do, folks. And then thirdly, thus they fail to study the Word of God. Number three, why make Wednesday night Bible study a high priority item? To examine ourselves. Does the Bible teach us to examine ourselves? Absolutely. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? God wants me constantly to be looking at myself to see whether I am in the faith, whether I'm a faithful Christian, whether I am living the kind of life God wants me to live. And you want to know how to do that? You do that by looking into the mirror of God's Word. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man which beholdeth his natural face in a glass. Notice that, in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now listen to him. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. God wants me to look into the mirror of His Word in order to see my spiritual condition. He wants me to examine my spiritual life. And every time we get together, whether it's in worship, Bible class, guess what? That is exactly what we're trying to do. You see, Wednesday nights, every one of us have a chance to examine ourselves in the light of God's Word. And sometimes when we do that, guess what? We find some things not quite right, don't we? Our hair's messed up a little bit. It may be that we left the house this morning and we forgot our belt. Perhaps we left the house and we Didn't wear matching socks. I did that about a week ago. Got to the doctor's office, looked down. I said, you've got to be kidding me. And I think the first thing the nurse saw was my socks not matching. Unbelievable. How about this? A little stain on the shirt? Maybe your collar's not straight. I think one time I preached an entire lesson. My collar was up. And when I got back to Kathleen, first thing she did, that collar's been up the whole time. How about this? Maybe a tear in part of our clothing. Maybe a zipper that's down. That's bad. A little bit of the undergarments that are showing. Maybe our shirt is not tucked in the way it needs to be. Or maybe there is a button that is just not buttoned the way it should be. Now, folks, all that has to do with the physical, doesn't it? I don't know about you. The very minute people walk by a mirror and see any of that, guess what they do? Oh, button that button. You know, you do everything you can do. Slip showing women. Kind of pull it down. It may be lying, hypocrisy, evil speaking, gossip, a bad attitude, doubt, fear. There could be a host of things that when I look into the mirror of God's Word, I might see something that is out of place in my life. You see, folks, the only way to know if my life is adorning the doctrine of Christ is to look into the mirror of God's Word. Now just think about this. Those who don't come on Wednesday night don't have that opportunity to examine themselves. They don't provide themselves with that opportunity. There are individuals who come on Sunday and then they'll come the next Sunday, and through the course of that 6 days between those two periods of time, they never open the Word of God again. They've gone 6 days and have not examined themselves spiritually. As I was thinking about that point, there's some members even here who haven't examined themselves in a month, 2 months, 6 months. Now that's a horrible thought, isn't it? How'd you like to go a month, 2 months, 3 months without ever getting the opportunity to look at yourself in a mirror? Be pretty ugly by the time you finally looked into it, wouldn't you? Folks, God wants us to be examining our lives. And Wednesday night Bible study helps us do that. How about this next point? To pass spiritual tests. Did you know the Bible gives us certain tests that challenge our spirituality to see just how faithful, just how dedicated, just how committed we are in our service to the Almighty God? How about the test of priorities? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Matthew 6, verse 33. First! Boy, that's a hard one to do all the time, isn't it? How about this next one? The test of love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Matthew 22, 37 and 38. How about the test of self-denial? Jesus said unto them, if any man come after me, let him deny himself daily and take up his cross and follow me. How about the test of pleasure? The Bible tells us that there's going to come a time when individuals fall away from the truth. And when they do, they shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. 2 Timothy 3, verse 4. How about the test of sacrifice? What did Paul say? I count all things but dung for Jesus Christ. Prior to that, he says this, yea, doubtless, I do count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? Paul says, I've given everything up. I've counted it all loss Why? So that I can obtain the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, constantly we are tested with spiritual tests in our life. And folks, God wants us to overcome those tests. He wants us to pass those tests. He wants us to zoom through those tests with flying colors, doesn't He? How about this one? To submit to the elders. All of us know that the elders are the shepherds of the flock. They are the overseers of the flock. And one of the responsibilities that they have is to feed the flock. Acts 20, verse 28. Paul writes to those elders, "Take heed therefore unto thyself, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood." One of the ways they feed us is with worship services and Bible classes. Wednesday nights is one of those times when you and I come to the feeding trough. Watch this big word. We're about to talk about a conundrum. A conundrum is a riddle. A conundrum is a puzzle. A conundrum is something that will cause you to be in great confusion. So here's the conundrum. Elders are commanded by God to feed us. Commanded. It's not an option. Commanded. But there are some sheep who believe that when the elders feed us, we don't have to eat. Ain't hungry. Ain't going. Here's the problem. Folks, if the flock doesn't have to eat, why did God command the elders to feed us? Why? Can you imagine being a mama? And you cook for an hour and you put all this great food on the table and then the kids, all of them just run, "I ain't eating tonight, Mom. Ain't hungry. Don't want none of that. I'm gone." How do you feel? "Oh, that's fine, child. I'm so glad you came to the table anyway. At least you looked at it." Are you kidding me? Sit down there and eat your food, boy. I've labored for an hour doing this stuff. You ain't just going to walk out of here and not eat. There's the conundrum, folks. If God commanded elders to feed us, guess what He also expects the sheep to do? Eat when it's time to eat. If not, why not? Let's look at a passage. Hebrews 13, 17. "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves." Who has the rule over us? Elders. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor." Elders rule the congregation. Now, notice there's two terms in that text. One of them says, "Obey them that have the rule over you." If elders want to, they can command us to do things. Do you know that? They can command it. They can demand it of us. And if they do, because they are the rulers, what am I supposed to do? I am supposed to obey. But there's another word there, isn't there? And what? Submit yourself. Look at the definition of submit. To yield, to surrender, to resist no longer, to give way. Oh, they're not demanding it. They're not going to crack the whip. They're not going to withdraw fellowship from you. But guess what? Because they're my spiritual leaders, they're the elders, I want to submit to them. I'm not going to resist. I'm going to yield my will to what they desire for me as far as my spiritual life is concerned. That's what that text indicates to us. Number five, why make Wednesday nights a high priority, folks? To take a break from the world. Do you know the Bible tells us that the world is an evil place? 1 John 5:19, "The whole world lieth in wickedness." You and I live in the world every day, don't we? You and I are influenced by the evils of the world every day. It's not even fun. even watch television hardly because of the evil of the world. You and I constantly have to fight the world. But there's a place wherein individuals who, yes, are living in the world but are not part of the world come together one with another. And folks, one of those times is on Wednesday nights. The church gathers to do what? To study the Word of God. The called out ones. Called out from what? Called out from the world. We're not of the world. We're different than the world. I'm not saying we're perfect, but we're a lot better than the world is. And what a privilege it is to be able to come together of people of like faith, common faith, and take an hour and study from the Word of the living God. Paul makes an interesting statement to the Philippians in Philippians 1, 27 and 28. He says that you stand fast with one spirit and with one mind, striving together for the hope of the gospel, and in nothing being terrified by your adversaries. You see, one of the reasons that the church must be united, one of the reasons that the church needs to come together often, is, folks, so that we can stand together in one spirit and one mind to remind ourselves we're striving together for the hope of the gospel, and to embolden us, to strengthen us, so that we are not terrified of our enemies. We can go back into the world and fight the good fight of faith. Why? Because we've been strengthened by our brothers and sisters in Christ. Most of the time, a lesson like this, I would just write about in the bulletin. You know what? Wouldn't present it from the pulpit like I have today. But you know, bulletin sometimes not effective. People love the sick and they love the announcements. But that old article, you can forget that thing. So somebody might ask, well, why would you take an entire lesson to talk to us about the Wednesday night Bible study? Number one, to remind us that it is important. To number two, to encourage us to make it a high priority item in our lives. And there's a third reason, folks. Guess what? We've got goals that we're trying to reach this year. You know that? The elders came to us the first Sunday in February and set goals for us. Those goals are listed right here as far as our attendance is concerned. And we have a Wednesday night goal. We want to have 50 people here on a regular basis on Wednesday. Who cares about a goal? You're members of Oceanside. Your elders have challenged you. Every one of us should be committed to the challenge. I'm going to do everything I possibly can in my nature to make this congregation successful in 2021. I am not going to be a part of the hindrance. I'm not going to do that. Can you imagine one day we get up here, 49 people, and you didn't show because you didn't want to? Are you kidding me? A preacher wants to go outside, scream at a dog to come walking through so he can count 50. Do we want to meet our goals or do we not want to meet our goals? I want to see us hit those 65 numbers again, don't you? I want to see us 70, 80. Folks, you can't do it if you're not here. Can't do it. We need everybody, don't we? Now, we realize there's times people just can't. And there's a difference between that, and we just don't. As I close the lesson, I want to do so with Psalm 119, 197. And all of us need to commit this passage to our memory, because I believe it pertains to our study of the Bible at any time, but also on Wednesday nights. The psalmist said, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." My friends, that book is a gold mine. Did you know that? A gold mine. And you and I ought to desire all the things that are in it, and we need to take advantage of studying it as much as we possibly can, including Wednesday night Bible studies. It's a vital element of the church. The past few Wednesday nights, we've had a mom who's come from West Kinnett. Right now, West Kinnett's not having Bible classes for all ages. They just have one big Bible class because of the coronavirus. And the reason they've been coming is because we have Bible classes. And she said, I need my children to be in Bible class. And that's why she's here, folks. You know, wouldn't it be wonderful if all of us had that attitude? Not about our children, per se, but even about our, I need to be in Bible class. You know, thank God we're able to open up again, isn't it? It's a blessing. We need to take advantage of all the programs, all the works, all the opportunities that the elders have afforded us at Oceanside. If you're not a Christian and you're here, we want you to be. The steps are simple. We enumerated them in our first lesson. They remain the same, don't they? It's exactly what those individuals had to do on the day of Pentecost. Believe in the Christ as the resurrected Son of the living God. Repent of their sins, confess His beautiful name, and be immersed for the remission of sins. Isn't that what Peter said? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Acts 2:38. Maybe you're an erring Christian and you need to ask God forgiveness. You can do that today. You just need our prayers. Won't you come as we stand and sing?